Hello, everyone. Let me get everything going here. I am so sorry I'm late. My the software that I use to stream to you guys, periodically it gets disconnected from Facebook, and so you have to re-verify your accounts and do all kinds of fun things. I was having to get everything set back up. I don't come on here but once a week, so I was like, oh, I'm going to have to do all the reset. So let me get to my questions. And so that we can get started today, one of the things that I did want to talk to you guys about is I'm in the middle of doing all of the work for the May camp, which is all about ending self-sabotage. And part of what I did was I had asked all the January campers, you know, tell me the ways that you struggle with self-sabotage and stuff. And I see it now that I'm really digging in and researching it even deeper than what I introduced to you guys last year. I'm seeing it crop up a lot with you guys. I just wanted to tell you what self-sabotage is and a couple of things that we're going to really dig way into during the May camp. Just so that as I answer questions today, that you guys can kind of understand that when you're not doing shit, it's normal. I think a lot of us have a lot of shame around like when things aren't going perfectly or when things aren't happening the way we think they should. And as I'm looking into self-sabotage, there was like a couple of points we're going to really drive home at camp that I wanted to share this morning. And number one is that the definition of self-sabotage is unconscious thoughts that are driving self-destructive habits in your visual conscious life. And so all of us have about 60,000 thoughts we're going to think every single day. 95% of them are going to run in the background of your mind and you're not going to hear them. So most of the time when you experience self-sabotage, it is because you have hit some kind of tolerance level or you've hit some kind of belief system within you that now is triggering a self-sabotage thought. And it often does feel like you can't control it. And it often does feel like it's happening like without your power, because it's like, but I know in my waking days and when I'm journaling and when somebody asks me, do I really want to lose weight? The answer is like, of course. Yes. Are you kidding? It's my lifelong dream. All of that makes sense. But then, like, we go throughout the day and at night we're eating. Or the first time somebody invites us out to eat because, you know, everything's opening back up, we eat our face off. That like miss starts happening. It's like, I say I want these things, but my actions are proving there's something in me that's saying unconsciously, I want something different in the moments. And this is really powerful to understand, because what I watch all of you do is think that because you've decided you want to lose weight, that everything should snap into alignment. The rest of it should be easy. Now, I start the four basics. I don't understand why my old habits keep popping up. And then rather than digging into what's going on, why might they be popping up? What are some of the things that I like? What are some of the things I believe around stopping it enough? What are some of the things that I believe? Like allowing your unconscious brain, this is the power of the journaling mind. Journaling is about allowing your enough of your on purpose, like when you're thinking about writing, and then you write long enough to where you allow that unconscious voice start pouring out onto the paper. And when you know the unconscious voice, you can be like, oh, it is no wonder I want to eat. It is no wonder that I do these things. So I just want to say, number one, when it comes to the self-sabotage, is that it is unconscious thoughts that you've collected over the years, and I'll dig into that in just a moment, that are playing out in what we call self-destructive ways, which doesn't mean they're like big swooping self-destructive changes. It just means if I have a goal and I'm doing something that doesn't get me closer to it, that would be self-destructive towards the goal. We're not always choosing those things. A lot of times it feels like it's not in our control. But here's where it starts getting good. If only 5% of the time you're going to hear your conscious thoughts, that means that when you're thinking on purpose, you want to be choosing so deliberately what you're going to think. So allowing yourself to stop saying certain things out loud, like stop saying, I struggle with eating enough. It's hard for me to lose weight. You don't get it. I've never been able to. I'm so confused. I doubt I can do this. When you use your mouth, use it purposefully. Your brain already has those thoughts running around in the unconscious. The worst thing you can do is put your words verbalized to them. You get to choose how you talk about things. No one struggles with finding their hunger. Do you know what we do? We're looking for hunger cues. I'm still looking for my hunger cues. I'm still learning. I'm just now starting to learn. One day I might be able to. No one has a hard time losing weight. Not a single bitch in this room has a hard time losing weight. You know what we have? We're working on it. I love myself enough to try. I'm going to do what I can today for me. When it comes to weight loss, I don't have an opinion anymore. My opinions might not have been so great in the past. I choose to have no opinion. No opinion and no judgment is better than sitting and arguing with me about your pain, your heart, and your problems. The more you argue and the more that you want to try to convince me that you should be able to keep your old shitty language is the more your unconscious brain is digging in to all those stories that it's like, all right, the right moment, I'm going to bring up that self-sabotage. I'm going to make it just automatic for her to do nothing to get her to her goals. So we're not going to verbalize this shit anymore. I want you guys to, when you post in the Facebook group, I want you guys to really watch your language around how you ask your questions and ask for feedback. I don't want there to be any more like doo-doo, poo-poo-ville. You ain't got to like take yourself to unicorn land, but you do not have to say, I'm struggling with eating enough. I'm asking a question. What do you guys do to find eating enough? I've noticed this past week, X amount of times, I missed it. Next week, I'd like to be doing it this many times. What are your ideas? That is so much different in such a different energy space and an emotional space than coming in going like, well, I'm like 64. I've been eating this way all my life. I really struggle with finding enough. I don't know if I'm ever going to be able to do it, but I'm going to reach out anyway. Hey, nobody needs a big sad ass story, including you. We'll all read it, but you know what happens when y'all post shit like that when you ask for help? About 75% of us are going to come in there first and clean up your diaper around your bullshit perceived circumstance. Do you want help finding enough? Or do you want us to help you, first of all, not being the shitter about how hard it is for you? Let's just get to the good stuff. So that means you guys sitting there listening, I want you to ask yourself, when I'm posting, when I'm asking questions, am I an Eeyore? Or am I somebody who actually wants help? Somebody who's just in it for the help, who just needs suggestions, who is like so determined to figure this out, does not post like an Eeyore first. Now, I know we all have bad days, and sometimes we got to help a sister up. That's fine. But I can tell when somebody's having a bad day and when somebody has a bad self-image. And we got to check those things. The reason why I'm so passionate about this is I'm like digging into the self-sabotage. It keeps going back to like I have yet to teach anything in the last 2 years where one critical step has to be involved, which is get over the self-judgment, beating yourself up, self-describing as a loser first. Something's wrong with me. Stops every change dead in its tracks. We always have to address that before we can even get to the root. I'm going to be teaching you guys this process called the unwind process, where I'm going to teach you how to uncover the self-sabotage that you do. You're going to like figure out the whole thing. And it's going to be unwinding self-sabotage. I've been really working hard on it. And one of the things that I've found is like, so if 57,000 thoughts a day are going to be under the radar and we're never going to hear them, then the 3,000 thoughts that we do hear a day, it is so much on us when we're using our reasoning brain to use it to its highest capability. Because those 3,000 thoughts are the ones that we got to make matter. Those are the ones that you'll hear. And when it comes to self-sabotage, I just want you guys to know there's none of you that are broken. Like, as I'm researching it, self-sabotage is such a normal thing for all of us. Every human does it. Our brain is uniquely designed to keep us alive, safe, and out of trouble. This is why we don't play in the street, but a dog gets run over. They don't have like dreams and desires and learned like things that they pick up over time and have to reason how to keep themselves safe before their reasoning brain is developed. As humans, we just grow and evolve throughout our entire, until we draw our last breath. For most of us, when it comes to self-sabotage, a lot of our thoughts and beliefs and the reasons why we do the things we do today all started before the age of 5. We didn't have a reasoning brain. We literally looked up, saw the humans, saw the other kids, and our brain started making sense of, oh, so if I make a mistake and someone yells at me, I shouldn't make mistakes. How many of you are sitting around, you know, 40, 50, 60 years old, still trying to be perfect, and then beating yourself up because you're a perfectionist rather than just like figuring out your self-sabotage patterns around it? Forgiving yourself for like, it's not a big deal. I just need to get good at spotting them now. I need to get really good at catching myself in the act. Now that I know that when I was a kid, that's probably how it started. It's nobody's fault. So like a lot of our self-sabotage patterns start before we even know we're doing it. The next big chunk of self-sabotage patterns that we keep the rest of our lives happens in our 5 to about 18-year-old ages. We start noticing our relationships and what people do and don't do based upon how we act. And we start making lots of conclusions there. Whereas when we're 5, all we have is modeling. And just like, all right, I just this. Like, this is how I'm going to be. Once you get to a certain age, your reasoning brain starts kicking in just a little. But it's not prepared emotionally to make logical assumptions. It makes a lot of irregular and illogical assumptions based on what it's experiencing. Another big chunk of all of our patterns start there. And then we get older and we just kind of keep that same immature mentality of looking around, making assumptions, and never questioning our assumptions. So we're going to unwind a lot of that at the self-sabotage camp, but I wanted to touch off with it today because a lot of you don't understand that your self-sabotage has nothing to do with you being broken or growing up with a terrible childhood, anything that makes you feel bad. That's not it. Self-sabotage patterns are literally there to protect you, because at one point in your life, when it got established, it made sense and it served a good purpose. It protected you in some way, or it provided pleasure in some way. It was doing something that you couldn't yet do with just your thinking. And what I teach you here is the power of being able to now find self-sabotage patterns, notice when you're doing it, notice when you're at the effect of it, and being able to start unwinding your thinking patterns. That's the real end of self-sabotage. Most of us want help with, tell me what to do when I overeat. No. You know what we're going to do? Because I can tell you what to do when you overeat, when you want to overeat, when you do overeat. That's all fine and good. But if we keep the shitty thinking that drives you to want to overeat, then you're just forced with a lifetime of making yourself do shit when everything in you is screaming, let's do something else. The real solve for self-sabotage is unwinding those patterns inside so that your body and your mind doesn't subtly nor scream at you to do things that take you away from the conscious goals of your life. The trick with self-sabotage is also to not erase it for good. You'll always have new ones pop up. You have a lifetime of experience and you have a lifetime of unconscious programming. Over time, what we do in No BS is we just get really good at noticing when a new one pops up and reprogramming and unwinding it. Solved. Let's move to the next one. Whenever it arrives. Funny thing about self-sabotage, I was reading this in an article. It said self-sabotage always knocks on the door at the most inappropriate times. I was like, no shit. Most of us won't self-sabotage until we're tired, stressed, and the shit hits the fan. That's when we normally it gets us. Or when we have a low self-concept. And a low self-concept doesn't mean that you sit around and beat yourself up all day long. A low self-concept means I don't sit around and think lusciously about myself all day long. Near enough. A lot of you mistake when we talk about, you know, a lot of us do have like extreme verbal doo-doo that goes on. I still have a lot of verbal doo-doo that happens on the regular that I work on. But some of you really don't. But when I ask you like, well, tell me about yourself. Well, I'm a mom and I'm like 45. I've got a pretty good life. I'm grateful for what I have. Like, that's the most boring story I've ever heard. That's not a high self-concept. That means I haven't learned how to be a fucking awesome cheerleader of myself. I haven't learned to push the boundaries yet of describing myself out loud intentionally as a fucking baller. For some of you, like when I say that, you're like, I would never do that. Well, let's ask ourselves why. If you really love your life, why would you not describe it as amazing? I have an amazing husband. Like for me, I have an amazing husband who loves me so much. He just surprises me with little things all the time. I can't even tell you how often Amazon pulls up with my favorite pens. The other day, I had mentioned that my favorite pen, I'd finally run out of them. 2 days later, Amazon arrives. He hands them over. 10 more of my favorite pens of all time. He doesn't need a pat on the back. That's an amazing marriage. Like I always describe my life. I try to at least always describe my life in high esteem. And I want more of you doing that. So we're going to do a lot of work in May camp. It's going to be a lot of the self-sabotage stuff. I will teach you not only. So what I was telling you guys is it's not so much we need to stop the behaviors or we need a dead stop to all of it. The real trick to self-sabotage is knowing when you're doing it there's like several different places to pause and to autocorrect. And I'm going to teach you the phases of doing that. Cause most of you think you have to like, once I spot something, I'm supposed to just stop dead. And if I don't, then I'm just an utter failure and I'll never get it. Like y'all go from one extreme to another. It's like, well, I know I don't stop it enough. So tomorrow when I didn't, like today when I don't do it perfectly, I'm just going to assume I'm never going to be able to lose weight, or I'm never going to be able to get this, or I'm so far gone that my hunger is, my fullness level is broken. Like y'all go to all these like drastic extremes. Here's what I would love. As much as descriptive and as hardcore as you guys describe your rate of failure, all the things that you can't do, what's impossible, what's hard, like all that self-doubt, like your doo-doo story, I wish that you would just one time tell the opposite story with as much creativity as you use for why you didn't lose a pound this week or why you couldn't leave two bites behind. Y'all will give me a fucking novella on that shit. Then when I ask you about your life, it's like, it's a one sentence, you know, I better like say this real fast before somebody hears me. Yeah, we all need to think about this shit. This is what I was thinking about this morning when I was like getting ready for y'all and writing camp scripts and stuff. Like, this is the stuff that we have to talk about. All right. So if you haven't registered for camp, make sure you do it. It's going to be May 14th through 16th. I'm going to bring fucking heat like you wouldn't believe. Oh, it's going to be good. It's going to be a good one. And if you're lucky enough to be able to come in person because you've been vaccinated, it's going to be great. We're going to like blow the roof off for our first back to in-person event for not only the people who get to come, but for all of you who are going to be doing it virtually. We are not taking the foot off the gas of making sure that your virtual experience is like you feel like you are in the room. I've told our whole team that going forward, virtual is here to stay. And our job is to make sure that our virtual attendants feel like they're in the room. So there you go. You can go to pnptribe.com, go to events, and you can get signed up. All right. Here's some of the questions. Here's a good example of somebody starting their question off and talking about it in a way that they are typing and verbalizing crap. I'm not giving weight loss my best effort. Who the fuck thinks that's a fact? Probably a lot of you. That is terrible. We do not do that. What should we start this sentence off? Type some things in the comments. I don't care if all you do is tune in for a Q&A and God forbid you actually do it without doing your 24-hour plan. Everybody, remember, what is the price of entry to listen to video replays, the private member podcast, or a live Q&A or live anything? Thou shalt make sure they have done their 24-hour plan. If you have not, pause. Make one. I will be here in the next 2 minutes. It ain't going anywhere. 2 minutes to start a success habit. Now, I'm not giving weight loss my best effort. In module 2 of No BS, we talk about, you know, what are we currently thinking? This is a good sentence. I'm not giving weight loss my best effort. That probably feels defeating, hard, shameful. I guarantee you ain't nobody out there thinking, well, that's an amazing thought. So what you could be thinking is, I'm here asking a question. I'm here. I'm giving effort. I have some things I want to work on. Notice how different that is. Like, we always wonder, why does weight loss feel so hard? Because we talk about it like a hard motherfucker. Y'all think my mouth needs to be washed out? Y'all's mouths need to be washed out. I would much rather say fuck on the regular in church than to talk out loud the way you guys do about your lives and about your efforts and stuff. I am just telling you. That is what had to change for me. You're not here because you need more help with cues. You're here because of bullshit sentences like that, that the diet industry has let you get away with your entire life. It's a no here. All right. I have to start small and I'm not even mastering the basics yet. I mean, this is Eeyore. Clearly an Eeyore whole question. Whoever this is, I want you to do this for yourself. Don't do it for me and don't do it for everybody else. I want you in your homework from this call to think about this and reword this question as if you are someone who's determined to lose your weight. Not with someone who needs to make sure, like before I ask my question, can I please put on proudly on display what a shit show I am? Y'all do this all the time. It's like before I ask a really good question, I just want to like make sure you know I'm a fuck up. Like you need to know because I for sure know. Nobody needs to know. Nobody cares a shit about your fuck ups. You know what we really care about? Your mindset. So I have to start small and I'm not even mastering the basics yet. Here, that's a, I'm currently thinking. That is not a fact, y'all. Here's what she could be thinking. Starting small seems easier for me because I'm working on the basics. That is a huge shift. And it is both the truth. One truth is, oh, I have to start small and I'm not even mastering the basics yet. Wah, wah. Probably feels very true. I bet a lot of you are in here like, oh shit, yeah, that I could have wrote that, Corinne. She and me are the same. That's one truth. Here's another truth. Starting small feels easier for me. So I'm going to do that for myself because I'm working on my basics a little bit at a time. That's also very true. And it sounds like, oh, that sounds smart. Let's do that. All right. I'm only two sentences into the first fucking question. This is a record. After listening to a replay, when Corinne talked about focusing on the feeling that we want to feel when we reach our weight loss, focus on how to achieve that, I chose the feeling proud. This is so good. I haven't even read this question yet. I'm going to read it all before. I'm not even going to get off on a tangent, but I'm coming back to this point. But when I think about the things that will make me feel proud about my weight loss journey, it involves a long list of major lifestyle changes. That feels like I would be slipping into diet mentality. No, your diet mentality was at the first two fucking sentences. Diet mentality says, I'm not giving it my best effort. I have to start small. I'm not even mastering the basics yet. That's diet mentality. Diet mentality sucks. It's sucky thinking, sucky things we think about ourselves, sucky things we think we have to do to lose the weight. That's diet mentality. I made all kinds of major lifestyle changes, a little bit at a time. Just a little bit at a time. And here's the other thing. You want to feel proud? I always say, like, whatever you want to feel at the end, you got to feel on the way. Your issue is not that you need to make major lifestyle changes to feel proud. You need to start talking like someone who would be proud of themselves each and every day. That has nothing to do with what you do. Guys, please, for fuck's sake, listen to Module 2 of No BS. Listen to Module 2 of No BS and do it 10 times at the minimum. Think, feel, do. It goes in the 1-2-3 order. Doing is lifestyle changes. Doing is eating to enough. Doing is making a plan. Thoughts and feelings drive your do line. It's not, I do these things and then I feel proud. It's no, you know what I need to be? I need to be feeling proud about me. I need to be proud that I'm here. And that starts with sentences. Like, I'm not giving my best weight loss effort. Not a fucking proud sentence. Guess what? If you want to feel proud at the end, then today you've got to start with saying, I'm here, motherfucker, asking a question. You take pride. That rather than saying, I'm not giving my best weight loss ever, say, I am putting in some work. That's pride. This question is everything. Diet mentality, guys. It's not what you do. So many of you get so hosed up on thinking, well, if I don't plan snacks, I'm slipping into diet mentality. No, you're not planning snacks. Why are you not planning snacks? If it's because I have found out after 2 weeks that I plan them and I eat them when I'm not hungry, guess what? That's not diet mentality when you take them off. It's called reality. So I don't need them is what my data has shown. Now, you might miss them and it's going to be uncomfortable, but that's the next logical step. It's not diet mentality when you skip snacks if you're not hungry when you're eating them. Diet mentality is I eat them because they're on my plan and I'm not hungry. Diet mentality, that there is no different. Don't bastardize my program. There is no difference in making a plan each day and eating all the shit when you're not hungry than it is to go to Weight Watchers and eat because, like, well, I'm not hungry, but I got me some points. Same thing with calories. That's diet mentality. Diet mentality says, I'm not listening to me, my goals, and my inner wants and dreams. Diet mentality says, I'm listening to everything but. I'm taking no responsibility for my feelings. That's diet mentality. Let's see. There is a lot of dissonance in my brain about how to make sustainable changes, but also how to give it the best effort I know I can give. This is the thing. You don't, like, all of you, you've got to check what you think best effort is. Some of you, if you write down, this is my best effort, and then you ask yourself, why is that my best effort? You're going to have things in there like, I should be eating this. I have to eat these things. The only way to get to. That's not your best effort. That's twisted, warped thinking. That's diet mentality. For a lot of you, you know what your best effort is? Overriding, doing that stuff out of fear you can't lose weight and trusting my process that small changes do matter. I've got to quit lying to myself that they don't. My best effort is literally now doing the things that Corinne says to do while fearing and doubting. That would be best effort. Do you know what's easy? To not do any of it and just listen and wonder when you're going to get off your ass. That's one. The other one is to keep doing it the way you've always done it just because you're scared, even though you keep failing. It's like you're so used to failing that you will keep doing things to feel certain because, like, well, it worked one time. So now I'm just going to brute force and make myself and beat myself into submission until I can't do it. And I'm just going to experience failure. For a lot of you, failure is way more comfortable than the fear and the doubt of, will this work? Doing it completely different than I've ever done it. I would challenge you guys to really look into that. What is, I don't even know who Clarissa is, but there's a lot of for fuck's sake. That's hilarious. Maybe Clarissa is the one that asked the question. I'm not sure. I've been doing doable hunger and my plans for 3 weeks. I've not lost any weight. All right, hang on. Sorry, I'm thirsty. I'm yelling too much. When I review my week, just at a glance, I'm eating way over the calorie allowance I would have given myself to lose weight in the past. I haven't been counting. So you don't really know. It's like, I'm not counting calories, but I know for sure I'm eating over in calories. That's not a helpful line of thinking. Only if you had actually counted, could we even count that as a fact. That's just your brain grasping for you to go back to what you know. So I am giving my body more than it needs out of habit. I do feel hungry, but is this false hunger? Any tips on where to go now? Do all people have satisfaction cues? My doctor said they don't. Here's the thing. I know what doctors say. You may not, but this is the thing. It is not helpful to get caught up in minutia. You're getting very caught up in the minutia. Here's what I would do. You've made a plan every day. You haven't lost weight in 3 weeks. Simplest way to do this. Eat 3/4 of what you've been eating. See what happens. If you are like eating to what you think is enough and you're not losing weight, eat a little bit less. A lot of people, what they find is they haven't paid attention for so long, or their body is not paying attention for so long. They just need to play with it. Rather than like looking around for specifics, just like, all right, this week, 3/4 the amount I've been eating. Let's go. Let's see what happens. You'll know. Hunger. Easiest way to figure it out. If you think you're hungry, don't eat. If you're like, I'm not sure if this is a sign, just don't eat. Wait till you know and see what that's like. In the beginning, for some of you, you have to remember that every Chick-fil-A Golden Corral incident, ordering some Chinese food and eating it all because it tastes so good, all of those times in the last 6 months are stored calories on your body. You miss a meal or two now is balancing the scales of the time when you were when you had a meal or two at one sitting. So don't get caught up in like, oh my God, Corinne, like I started waiting for hunger and for like 2 or 3 days, I only ate once. It will balance out. Nobody was sitting like, when all of us polished off a half a pizza and some ice cream because it tastes so fucking good, nobody was sitting around going, oh my God, I bet that's like 4 meals. I bet at some point in the future. Like, nobody thinks about that. We might be a little mad that we overate, but it ain't like you're keeping a tally score. If you've got weight to lose, I promise you guys, in the beginning, if you miss a few meals simply because you're truly waiting for hunger, eventually what happens is your body, it will start tapping into your own calorie stores, will give you energy. And then at a certain point, when it starts feeling trust, like, oh, okay, she feeds me when she's hungry, we've got extra calories, I now feel really good about giving her some hunger cues on a more regular basis. And that is the same for all of you who freak out when, like a lot of you, when you first join, you know, you have a few weeks where you're only like suddenly, like you're, I'm patient with my hunger. I love that I can eat whatever I want. My mindset is so tapped into, I get to have what I want to eat. Now I don't mind waiting for hunger. Before, a lot of us, what we did is we never waited for hunger because we were always denying ourselves our favorite things. And so we would get hungry more often because we were thinking about all that we were missing out on. So I just want you to know, like for some of you, you may go a few weeks and you're only eating like a couple times a day. And you're rocking and rolling and it doesn't seem like that big a deal. And your body's not asking for hunger. And you're so looking forward to what you're going to eat that it's not a, you know, a big thing. Then what happens is your body starts really getting into, I'm ready to burn calories. I'm ready to like do this thing. She is so responsive. Our stress levels are starting to go down. She's thinking differently about herself. She's thinking differently about food. She's thinking differently about the whole process. So your body starts kind of trusting. Your body does do these things. It wants to work with you. And it may start kicking up an extra meal. So then you just eat when you're hungry. It's always the same. So if this was me, like if I was sitting there and like, but like the next question is, how do you know when you're physically satisfied versus mentally satisfied? How can you tell the difference? For me, this is what happens. When I'm eating, if I start wanting to distract myself, like I want to get on the Facebook or I want to suddenly check in at work, or I notice that I'm not looking down to eat, I'm just like, I'm kind of in that automatic habit. I know I'm mentally eating. Now, that doesn't mean I might be satisfied, but I'm probably getting close. So I stop eating and I check in and I just ask myself, do you need any more? Or can you put it away for a little bit? And if you think like you want more, you can always come back. I do that a lot. I do that a lot. And I will say like 70% of the time, I get a good 30 minutes away from it. I realize I've had enough. 30% of the time, it wasn't enough. And I just go and finish it. I don't have no, like, if it's not hot, guess what? I got a microwave. I don't make it complicated. One of the other things that some people say that they do is they start noticing that when they've had enough, they start looking for the best bites on the plate. That means that they are probably, if you're looking for the best bites, you are now moving over to, it just tastes so good. It just tastes so good. Let me get those. I'll leave behind the shitty ones. You probably already have enough at that point. For me, I also get what's called the sigh. So I'll be eating and I'll notice that I'll go like that. That means either I'm either eating fast and I need to slow down no matter what, or I've ate enough to where it start like I'm running out of room and my body's physical signal is to like take a big deep breath. I know for me that whenever I sigh, I'm at the enough point. Much more than that, I'm going to be full. So those are just a few of mine, but they're just all kinds of stuff. Just play with it. For me, when I know that I'm mentally eating, there's like, I'm sitting there when I'm like just eating because like I'm actually hungry and stuff. There's a satisfaction that's happening in my body. I think when I'm mentally eating, I feel like I almost go more unconscious for me. And that's been my pattern all my life, is to overeat like unconsciously. And so for me, there's also and that's why I think a lot of times I start looking to do the Facebook or I look to do work or whatever. When I feel like I'm not in the experience of the eating, I'm probably at enough, or I just need to refocus. I was saying something else. I was talking to my friend Jane this morning that I think is super interesting. I want to talk about urges for a second. This isn't one of the questions, but it kind of comes up around this stuff. I was thinking about my urges and eating, and when I'm eating in response to an urge, and when I'm like eating in response to hunger. And one of the things that I was thinking that I think I noticed with myself is that when I'm fulfilling an urge, I feel a lot of like, let me just tell you how I was telling her. One of the things that I had texted Chris this morning is, today is my meeting day. So, I have lots of meetings. I'm either on camera with you guys, shooting things, in meetings, podcasting, doing all the things. And so on days like today, I don't have breaks. Like I start with you guys at 9. I don't even get off camera until at least 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So I just go from one Zoom call to another all day long. And at 4, I will have adrenaline and cortisol coursing through my veins, but it will drop out of my system real fast. So if you guys don't know, like for all of you who work and stuff, your body is probably pumping adrenaline and cortisol all day long, like giving you just enough of the stress hormones, like to keep you focused, keep you going, keep you making decisions and doing all the things. Well, when you're done, your body doesn't know how to ramp up and ramp down. It knows how to ramp up and you like keep going, keep going, keep going. How much does she need? How much does she need? Then when you're done, it just drops like a lead balloon. That's the only way the body knows how to get rid of the chemicals is to just flush it. Well, it doesn't take you back to feeling normal. It literally takes you dipped down. So for me on Wednesdays, what's notorious is that 4 o'clock will hit. I will stop working and I am hungry. Like I have barely ate. I have not paid attention. I've just been so busy. And cortisol and stress hormones also, they numb a lot of hunger cues. So that's why a lot of times on Wednesdays, I was late because not only was the connections difficult to get set up today because everything had been disconnected, but I was coming in on the wire no matter what, because I decided to eat breakfast. A lot of times I just come in and I don't eat breakfast, but then I don't get a chance for a long time. So today I was like, you know what? I'm going to take 10 minutes. I'm actually going to sit here. I'm going to eat my breakfast because I need energy today. And I had a big workout this morning. Then at 1 o'clock, I have my team meeting or my leadership meeting. And I'm like, the Mitch is going to watch me eat today. Like, I am not going to go my entire day, you know, without eating and go into the evening panicked for hunger. So then at 4, I texted Chris. He was still in bed. And I said, at 4 o'clock today, when I'm done, I want you and I to go into the bedroom and we're going to watch an episode of Arrow. And I'm going to give myself time to let the drop happen and to get my emotions and to get my chemicals stabilized and neutral before I eat. Because what typically happens is when I eat in that state, the first part of the meal, I do not enjoy. I'm only experiencing relief from wanting to eat. So there's no joy. There's no nothing. I'm literally eating while my chemicals are coming down, while I'm dropping. I'm eating to like, it's almost like I'm trying to eat just to get back to neutral. And there's just no fun in this. And there's no like, whatever. So then what happens is when that part of the food is over, I want more because I didn't get to experience the enjoyment factor I normally do with my meal. So then like my body's like, well, we ate and we got enough, but what we didn't get enough of was enjoyment in the meal, enjoyment of the experience. So that's what it wants. It wants that. And it starts asking for it. And on Wednesdays, it asks for it loudly. It's not so subconscious. Starts subconsciously, but it ends up being a bullhorn blaring in my brain. And more times than not, I add shit. Like I'll add, you know, cashews. I'll add, you know, whatever, some kind of something. And I've been looking at this pattern and being like, all right, I got to fix Wednesdays. Like, but it was interesting to note that I think what happens for a lot of us is that we forget a key part of eating is actually enjoying it. I mean, when we all sit around, none of us are saying like, yeah, like I just don't want to enjoy food at all. If we didn't want to enjoy food, I guarantee you none of us would be a no BS woman. I mean, let's just be honest. How many of us are here because we hate food so much? Said no one ever. We love food. We love the experience, that kind of stuff. And that's okay. I don't want to teach you that. Like, God love my mentor. I adore her. But one of her big things that she likes to teach is like how to like basically suck the joy right out of the food. And I'm like, this is where we differ. Like, I'm all in until we get to this point. And it's like, no, I really want to enjoy it. But what I want to do is I want to learn what true enjoyment is. And it takes examining things. And so like, as I was talking to her this morning, I said, this is one of those moments where like 15 years in, I've never thought about it like this. I've never distinguished why I would want to keep adding at certain times. And it's simply because I'm not allowed, like when I back up the truck and really understand and have so many Wednesdays where this keeps happening over and over again. I swear to God, this has been going on for like 6 months. Every Wednesday has been a little refinement in the process. Just a little bit of knowledge has gained and whatever. For all of you, and it kind of goes back to our first question. I've been fucking up for 6 months on Wednesdays, but I've been figuring it out. I've been tweaking. That is the best effort. The best effort in whatever is not that you did it right. Best effort means I never gave up on the idea that something was happening here and I needed to just figure it out. And it literally was today, after all that time of tweaking little things and noticing things and tracking things and, you know, eating and whatnot, I've been like, I think I finally figured out what's really going on for me. So the hard part for me today will literally be 4 o'clock, sitting through the desire to want to do what I do every Wednesday at 4 o'clock, which is eat dinner early, immediately when I'm done, because I've told myself, you know, you didn't have time to really eat today. So today I'm trying a whole new thing. We'll see if it works. I actually anticipate it working today. I really feel like this was something that I stumbled on for me. But guys, this happens when you are willing to not judge yourself. If I spent the last 6 months thinking that I was a fuck up and who dare I lead other people and blah, blah, blah. If I spent time in that stuff, do you think I would have ever figured it out, much less been able to figure out something that could help y'all? It's a no. None of you need to have all of this figured out to lose some weight. To lose all of your weight. You just need to be applying and doing the little things and never dismissing them as not being enough and challenging yourself each day to be like, what is that one thing I can do today? What is one thing in my control? What's one unique thing I can try today? Is there one snack I cannot try today just to see what happens? This does not have to be a week-long commitment. This is the other thing I want to tell you guys about planning your food and whatnot. When you try something one day, just tell yourself, I'm trying this today so I can see if it's something I would want to try going forward. I may not. I may find I'm not ready. But I would encourage you that whatever you decide to try, just do it so that you get committed to trying things. And you get committed at examining to see if you want to keep doing it. If nothing else, you just prove to yourself that you can give something a whirl to see what happens. I think a lot of you get hosed up, especially for people who are perfectionists and whatnot. Sometimes I think you guys get hosed up in thinking that if you try it, that you're never allowed to go backward. It's like, it's not that you're going backward at all. Like, this is part of experimenting to see if it works. Do I like it or not? If I like it, I'll try it again tomorrow. That's all I ever did. And sometimes a lot of the stuff that I tried, I waited until I was like, I know this is the next thing I want to do for me. I see myself long-term doing this. And I didn't do that step until I was ready to do that for the rest of my life. But it was the small parts of it. Like when I literally went from that half a gallon of ice cream eating out of the carton to a bowl, I was willing to never eat out of a carton of ice cream ever again. I didn't go from eating out of a carton to, you know, the little petite coffee cup with its little ball serving that, you know, is a half a cup. And so like, well, that's what I got to do for the rest of my life. You got 1,000 changes you can make. Just got to make one at a time. That's it. I give in to instant gratification so easily instead of waiting for the long-term success of making my weight goal. It seems so far in the future that these 1 to 2 cheese curds on the appetizer platter won't really matter. I have to make long-term goals more appetizing. Help, what do you suggest? Number one, if you're not writing your goals down every single day and writing down, this is what I, for all of you, when it comes to long-term gratification, I'm going to tell you, when you want a cheese curd, your goals, if they're not clearly visualized and planted in your head, your brain cannot access them in that moment. The desire is too strong in that moment. So the first way that you combat this problem is you literally got to be writing your goals down every day. You need to be writing down your whys every day. Every day. That's why it's in the planner. And don't just sit there and go unconscious writing the same old shit every day. Challenge yourself to write really why it's important. Also, for all of you, I would be making sure that you do visualization of your longer term goals. I think everybody should spend 10 seconds a day in the morning. You write your 24-hour plan. You write down your goals. You write down why things are important to you, all that stuff. Close that book, close your eyes for 10 seconds, and you see yourself living the life that you want. Now, for some of you who don't do well seeing way off in the future, see yourself living the life you want next week, next month, next year, wherever you want to land is fine. But you've got to train your brain to start looking to your future for what you want and not looking into what's in front of your face on an appetizer platter called a cheese curd. The other thing is that you need to find your patterns of where you give into your immediate desires, and you need to do some visualization of you. So like, y'all, I don't have my 24-hour plan in here. You know how I like in the planner, we ask about like, you know, what's going to be an obstacle today, or what's going to be hard today, or whatever. On that one, you need to figure out what it is that's going to be hard today about eating. You know, I'm using one of the older planners right now, and it says it the hunger scale. I know we don't do the hunger scale anymore, but I don't have the exact sentence. I'm using the old one that we changed before we changed wording this last round. Same planner y'all use, but just a little bit different wording. And I've been using it because I've been using all the old, they sent me the old ones. But anyway, on that one, what I would do is for all of you who are struggling with like the eating to enough, waiting for hunger and stuff, visualize yourself in that moment, it feeling hard and you saying no anyway and being proud of yourself for doing it. That's really important. I think a lot of you, one of the things that we don't do near enough of is visualizing things and seeing ourselves succeeding. And succeeding in the moments when it does feel hard. And succeeding in the moments in our normal obstacles. What most of us do is we do a lot of visualization of this. I'm going to be going, appetizer platter is going to be sitting there. There's going to be some cheese curds. And all you do is visualize you eating and feeling bad about it. Or standing there suffering and scared. And then like you visualize nothing else. We want to visualize like you calming yourself down. You want to visualize yourself saying something, walking away, and leaving the event feeling good about yourself. You want to give yourself that entire process. Thank you. What might get in the way of following the doable hunger method today? That's the question. Mine says 2-2. So, all right, guys, that's all I got for today. Just make sure that you are listening to No BS if you're new, that you are only listening to Q&As and only listening to replays if you are trucking along in your No BS. You do not ever need to listen to one of these calls until you feel like you are caught up in using the No BS weight loss program. These are the extras. These are the bonuses. Because once you get past your first month and you wrap No BS, these are the calls that help bubble wrap you into the program, where we cover lots of the nuances and we dig into the questions and things like that. So you guys have a good one. I will see, for those of you who want to come to my free public clubhouse, I don't do a public Facebook Live anymore. I stopped those a while back. And I've started doing a clubhouse because they're not recorded. The public doesn't pay for content. Guess what? You do. That's why I do all my lives in here now. This is why, you know, one of the nice things about being a member is everything I say, you have access to all the recordings. Public doesn't have that. They get the podcast. And then if they want to come to this clubhouse and show up, they can, but those aren't recorded. One of these days, we are working on a way to start simulcasting the public clubhouse in here, Facebook Live. We're still working out the kinks on that. We have to get some sound stuff so it doesn't sound like shit for you guys. So I've bought a bunch of mixers and all kinds of stuff that we can use so that we can get you guys a clean recording. And that way we can get those going. But I will be there at 7:30 a.m. Central Time on Clubhouse for anybody who's there. We typically try to call on the No BS women more than we call on the public. So if you ever want to come on and say something live, there you go. Other than that, I will see you guys. I believe I'm talking to you guys. Hang on, let me check. I think we've got a call this. Yeah, we have a call this Saturday. I'm going to be teaching you how journaling helps you rewrite your past. So we'll basically be doing a lot of like, bring me your doo-doo, bring me your backstory. We'll be talking about all the things. And then I'll be here for Sunday for, office hours at 12 and Queens Club. We also have our 10 a.m. monthly call. There you go. Y'all have a good one. Bye, y'all.